for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Sunday evening service of December the 31st, 2000. Watch night service at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds Midwinter Family Camp Meeting in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noe of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher.
And it's promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And what claim do you have to this promise? If you belong to Jesus Christ. And it's promised to the house of that he's looking for our righteousness. And it's promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And what claim do you have to this promise? If you belong to Jesus Christ, you be the seed of Abraham. You've been adopted. Jesus is your big brother. He has redeemed you. Therefore, you are an adopted child in the house of Judah. And Jesus Christ, you be the seed of Abraham. And that's your claim to this. It's looking forward into the prophecy. Look at Messiah. Look at Isaiah 21. 61, I'm sorry. I don't want to go back to that. Isaiah 61. And now here's another forward-looking prophecy. Isaiah 61:10. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. And he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself in garment, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. And so there Jesus has given you his robe of righteousness. And I want you to compare that now with Isaiah 64:6. But we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousness is like a filthy rags. Do any of y'all ever bother to look up that word in Strong's to see what it really means? It's a menstrual cloth. A menstrual cloth. Something that's dead. Represents death. That's the reason a woman was unclean, because that discharge represented death. The cells have died. Look it up. That's what it means. It's something. All the righteous works you do in the flesh to God, well, it's filthy rags. There's something dead and a mistake. So we are complete in him. Praise God. We're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. In Ephesians 2:14, it says he himself is our peace. He's broken down the wall of division. Jeremiah 26:3 says that those who depend on him, he will keep in perfect peace. Isaiah 57:20-21 says there is no rest for the wicked. I want y'all to read that. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's go over to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, starting with verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace to him who's far off and to him who's near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea where it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says the Lord, says my God, for the wicked. Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 48:22 says the same thing. If you can get the similarity, he says the wicked are like the sea when it's roiling and it's bringing up dirt and filth, and it's the more water is muddy and full of trash. That's what the wicked is like. Their mind is always muddy and full of filth and trash. There is no peace for them. No clarity of vision. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, there were, the Roman soldier had two shields. He had one, a little round shield about like this, that he held up when he was fighting with his sword. And another one was a big box shield at about this wide, stood about this high, that he could hide behind. And these were the shields that they used for the turtle. When they all marched in unison and they locked the shields together. And you couldn't, and they stuck their swords out in between. They had spearmen and they're sticking the swords out. And you couldn't penetrate this wall of shields. And then they had soldiers who put the shields up above them so that the arrows couldn't get in. It was like a mobile tank. It looked like an earthworm with scales on it. And the only thing that could break it was fire. They used to ball up these huge things of branches and thorns, and it's a huge ball light on fire, and roll it into the turtle. Because the fire within would break up the turtle, and then you could break the ranks apart, and then you could get in and fight them. And so that is the shield of faith. You can get behind it, and the enemy can't hit you. It covers the whole body. Not that little bit of shield, that big shield. It's like the wing, when the wing covers you. Ain't no holes in a wing. When he covers you with his feathers and under his wing, you shall take refuge. It covers you completely. The enemy can't get to you with his fiery darts. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my shield. Psalm 91:4 says that under his feathers you shall take refuge. He shall be your shield and buckler. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, you shall refute and refuse. Look at the helmet of salvation. Acts 4:12, Peter says that in no other name is there salvation. So the salvation is Jesus Christ. Salvation in his name. I told you that salvation came from the word salvo, which means healing, deliverance, prosperity, protection, all of those words. And so why is it the helmet of salvation? The helmet protects the mind, and the mind is the battleground. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Because it's important that you realize that the mind is the battleground. If the enemy can get into your mind, he can beat you. 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. What is salvation? Faith and love of God. As a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, body, faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. Hope is as important as faith. You ever heard anybody preach on hope? What is hope? It is the firm expectation of good in the future. Faith is for today. Hope is for the future. You've got to expect that God is going to provide tomorrow just like he's providing today. He's going to provide next week just like he's providing today. And that there are going to be better things in the future. And so you've got to have hope of good things in the future. Our hope is in the Lord. Faith is today. I'm healed today, Lord. Hope. I know, Lord, that my family is coming in. I have faith today to pray for them, and I know, I have the hope that they're going to be saved. Okay, so you put that hope of salvation, of good things in the future, so the devil can't to protect your mind with the hope of what's happening in the future. You may be in tribulation today, being pressed. But you know that God said he will provide all of your needs and that he will deliver you out of the hand of the enemy. And you may be pressed a little time today, but there's hope for tomorrow. And so you have to know that. Otherwise, he'll get you despondent and depressed. and frustrated and want to quit. So you got to put the hope of salvation on to know that you stick with God. And you don't allow the spirit of heaviness to come upon you, or depression or suicide or self-pity, or listen to the voice of the enemy who promises you an easier way out. You just compromise him a little bit, steal a little of this, and it needs to be met, you know, just a little bit. Just borrow some. Just borrow a little bit. It's all right. They won't be able to catch you. You can cover it up. That's the devil talking to you. And that's a slippery slope. Or go borrowing your credit card against you can pay for it next week. Go ahead and buy this. You deserve this. Go on and buy it on your credit card. You can pay for it next week. Well, next week don't ever come at 18% interest. Okay. Let's look at Matthew 13:19. Talked about the devil putting thoughts in your mind. Let's look at 13:19. Here it says, the parable of the hearer, or the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Talking about the birds came and ate the seed. He said, that's the devil coming snatching it out of your mind. Ain't that scary? Put the helmet of the hope of salvation on. After I get through talking every day, I pray and I say, God, that this word's falling on good ground. The devil will not steal it. I bind him that he shall not steal this word. But it'll bear good crop. Okay. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:4. Now, I've been over this once before with you. For we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to our weapons of our warfare are not carnal of the flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. I told you the strongholds, they're systems that you've been raised in. You've been raised as Jehovah's Witness. That's a stronghold in your life. And you have to pull that thing down. It's a systemized, it's a systematic belief system that you've been taught, that's been ingrained into you, that you respond to automatically. And you've got to systematically tear that thing down with the Word of God. You have to keep it down, and you need the helm of the hope of salvation to protect you. Exalt itself against the knowledge of God and every casting down arguments. Arguments are logic. That comes from the word logic. You know, the devil's a very logical, reasonable fellow. How many folks have you seen lose their healing? They have a bona fide miracle and they go home and they tell their friends and say, oh, come on now, let's be logical and reasonable about this thing. Come on now. And time they get, they talk those people out of their miracle. John 13:2. And the supper having ended, the devil already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil had put into the mind of Judas to betray Jesus. You see that? Now, Judas was a devil. He was a thief and a liar. He was a keeper of the money bag and he stole out of it. Jesus said, I've chosen you and want to use the devil. But yet he walked in apostolic power. He was one of the group. The other disciples had no idea that he had problems. But he had some demons in him. And the devil entered into him at the end. So the devil can put thoughts into your mind and he can steal them out. You need the helm of the hope of salvation to protect your mind. We've talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, the spoken word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, being watchful to the end. And so what do we have in the armor? I have people stand up every morning and they put the belt of truth on, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the gospel of peace, the helm of the hope of salvation, but taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit before they go out. And with them, this is just as regular as brushing their teeth. I think that that's fine if that's what they want to do. If that is what God has led you to do, I would not criticize you. I put on Jesus Christ every morning. I get up and I say, Lord Jesus, you are my armor and my protection. I walk in you. Oh, Lord, let me walk under your wing, under your covering. Let me walk in you. Guide me. Help me put a guard on my mouth that I don't offend you, that evil doesn't come out of it. Open my eyes that I can see and my ears that I can hear. Protect me from the evil one. For you said that you would not take me out of this world, but that you would protect me from the evil one. You know, these rapture people, Jesus prayed to the Father, Father, I pray that you don't take these men out of the world, but that you keep them or protect them from the evil one. Now, Jesus is praying that you ain't going to get out of the world. What do you think your chances are getting out? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, what does that mean? It means that you need to have a regular, quiet time before God so He can speak to you and you can get your rhema. You need to spend your time washing in the water of the Word every day. And you need to spend time in prayer every day. And you need, I'm like Chris now, you need a regular routine of fasting. I've had a routine of fasting for 20 years. Well, longer than 20 years, for 25 years now. I fast 2 days a week. I drink water. Sometimes I drink chocolate milk. A lot of people drink orange juice. I'll drink skim milk or chocolate milk. Orange juice doesn't agree with me. Some people drink orange juice. If I go on a long fast, I have a routine in which I will go on a 7-day fast occasionally. And I work. I get up. I anoint my face with oil. I actually get out the olive oil after I've shaved and anoint my face. Because that's what Jesus said do. And I used to not take anything but water. And I meet the public, though. And my nurse, dear Rita, she said, Dr. Null, do you know how bad your breath is? He said, your breath would wilt a flower. Said, you don't breathe on these people you're taking care of, do you? She said, 2 feet away, I can smell your bad breath. And I said, Lord, I got to work with the public. What am I supposed to do? So I drink four glasses of skim milk a day. And it controls my ketones. I don't have as much ketoneuria or ketone breath, which that's my reason for drinking milk. Sometimes I'll drink 2% milk, mostly skim milk. Because I don't like butterfat. I'm not trying to put anybody in the comments, but you should have a regular routine of denying the flesh. Now, lots of people who are in bondage, people who smoke, generally can't fast. They got that bondage spirit in them, and it was not easy when I first started fasting. It was not an easy thing. But the first 3-day fast I went on was exceedingly different. I kept watching the clock to see when I could stop and get something to eat. And then I ate so much I got ill. I'm going to tell you this, though. Fasting without prayer is dieting. Fasting without a commitment to prayer is dieting. You don't fast to lose weight. You will not lose weight fasting because your body will get you to eat enough calories. The longest fast I've ever done is 47 days. My prayer partner was dying of cancer. And a group of us just grouped together to fast and pray for her. And myself and her husband and two other people in the prayer group. And we fasted for 47 days. On the 47th day, she died. After she died, a friend, God had told me she was under a curse, but I talked to her about it, and I couldn't get any discernment on it. After she died, a friend came to me and told me that she had confided this into her and sworn to secrecy, that he said an angel, that Jesus had appeared to her and told her that this breast cancer was going to kill her, but I was going to pray for her and raise her from the dead, and that was going to cause her family to be saved. And she accepted that. An angel of light appeared to her and talked her into dying. And I kept saying, there's some sort of curse here, and I can't get it. God never revealed it to me. He did not reveal it to me. I don't think she would have believed me if I had told her. She was crying and weeping because her family was... She couldn't get her children saved. She couldn't get her family out of the church they'd been in. And praise God. That's the longest fast. But I worked every day. And that's when my nurse told me that I had this horrible breath. I lost 25 pounds, but at the end of 6 months, I had gained it all back. Praise the Lord Jesus. Does anybody have any questions about the armor? I've talked to you about the armor the way I understand it. And I really think that you should put Jesus Christ on. I think you should memorize this portion to know what these parts of the armor are and how Jesus is that armor. To develop an understanding of it. Not just a this kind of understanding or this kind of understanding here. That who you are in Jesus Christ. Once a demon said to me, "Who do you think you are? You're just a piece of dirt." And out of my mouth came, "I'm standing in Jesus Christ and you know it. And I've got authority over you. Come out." And it was just like that. I'm standing in Jesus Christ. And I want all of you to know that you're standing in Jesus Christ. And that is a spiritual position that comes from knowing who you are and standing in faith. It's important to know that you have a hope for the future. And it's this hope that will guard you against depression and frustration. And it will carry you through the hard times. Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to be pressed. Like I was crying to God one day, feeling sorry for myself. And he gave me the verse in the Hebrews. He said, "You have not resisted sin to the point of shedding your blood. Were you crying them out?" And he said, "I've never required you to shed your blood." "No, sir, Lord, you have not. Thank you." You know, the devil, I want to show you a concept. I borrowed part of this from a man named Ed Murray, who wrote a book called Spiritual Warfare. And so I wanted to show you an overlay that Crystal was nice enough to make for me of my piece of art. Okay, can y'all read that? Here we have an individual. Now, sin is the way the devil can plague you. And over here we have personal sin. That sin from within, better known as the flesh. And the flesh is divided into the sin of the flesh and the self of the flesh. The sin of the flesh is obvious. It's sin. Bondage to the body of sin. Now, man is a three-part being. A spirit, soul, and body. Man is a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. The soul is the mind, the spirit, and the body is the actual flesh, blood, and bones. Now, residing in your flesh is the body of sin, the law of sin. You also have what's called a soulish body. Corinthians 15:45 says you are a soulish body. And so is the soul. Yields to the passions of the sin of the flesh, the deceitful lust of the flesh. Ephesians says, you are made corrupt by the deceitful lust of the flesh. As they become entwined, then you have the flesh. And the flesh has two parts. The self of the flesh and the sin of the flesh. The sin of the flesh, in Romans says, reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. And you can reckon yourself dead to sin. That takes but a moment. And you say, I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God through Jesus Christ. I will not yield my members to unrighteousness, but I will yield them to God as weapons of righteousness. And you stand on that, and you're free. Now, if you can't do that, it means you got a demon in there that's helped, and you need to get the demon cast out. The self of the flesh takes a lifetime. That's self-righteousness. That's self-works. Self-righteousness. If the flesh is not allowed to sin, to commit sin, it'll do good works. It'll cause you to tithe to church. It'll cause you to go on mission trips. It'll cause you to go on soul winning trips. It'll cause you to sing in the choir. Or anything that raises you up in prominence. But if it's not motivated by the Holy Spirit, it's flesh. Yeah. If it is not spirit motivated, then it is self motivated. It is self powered because the Spirit of God will not empower the flesh. Anything you do in the flesh, you're doing with your own strength, not with the Spirit of God. And so it is self-motivated, self-powered, self-glorifying, self-righteous. And so you come up with your own righteousness, which is enmity against God. And so you must crucify the soul. Paul says, I die daily. Jesus said in Luke, take up your cross and follow me daily. I have a tape on salvation of the soul. It takes an hour, it takes 2 hours. I taught it one night, and Irma said, you don't have any mercy, do you? He said, we're all tired, we want to go home, and you're talking 2 hours. I said, I thought you might have any mercy. I just told her all these things. And I said, you leave anything out. And I said, you don't have any mercy. I said, what do you mean? I'm tired. I want to go home. Yes, ma'am. Okay. The second is a social sin. Sin from without, from the world. And in 1 John, it says, all that is in the world. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. is not of God, but of the devil. For the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. James 4:4 says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And so, you see, and up above him, you have those two that you're fighting. And up above here, you have something called evil supernaturalism. That is sin from above. And that's up in the second heaven. You got this evil supernaturalism that Paul talks about. Isn't that a nice name for a demon? Evil supernaturalism. So I don't use that buzzword demon. We're going to call it evil supernaturalism. Okay? These evil angels are sitting up here. And see, they got arrows going down. They send demons down to talk to people, to send people into your life to tempt you. You trying to walk the straight and narrow. And along comes this young lady who's got a whoring spirit and leads you into sin. Oh, you a young lady. One of the young ladies down in the teens last summer asked me, said, Dr. Noah, does the devil still have access to God? And so I took it to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and showed her that, said that the devil can change himself into an angel of light, and I showed her to in Job where he came. I said, but let's look on down here a little bit more. It says that his agents can be changed. His agents can be changed into ministers of righteousness. Now, what does that mean? That means the captain of the football team that you think is so nice, and he comes over and he's just so nice to you, and he's president of the youth group over at the first church of the avenue over here. And he wants to take you out, and he's real popular and real nice and says he's a Christian. And the first thing he wants to do is get your pants off of you. I said, now, honey, when that happens, you slap his face and say, take me home to mama right now. Because you have met an enemy, an agent of Satan, whom Satan has sent to bring your downfall. Although he looks like a minister of righteousness, he met the agent of the devil who has been sent to bring your downfall. Although he may be real popular and real sweet and all of this, but you'll know him by his actions. Also, you can look at his tracks and see where he's been. You know, he comes as a wolf in sheep's clothing, and you look at his tracks and see where he's been. And he's been over yonder and that one, and that one, and this one, and this one's been sleeping with this one, and that one. What makes you think he don't want to sleep with you? She said, thank you very much. I didn't embarrass her. I hope I didn't embarrass y'all. You watch television, you hear this kind of talk all the time. I don't watch television except when I'm in the doctor's lounge waiting on a baby to be delivered. And I try to find a John Wayne movie to watch, but there's always somebody else who's got the control, and I'm just sitting there. Praise the Lord. And so the enemy, you see, can send demons down to affect the people in the world who will affect you. Well, what is this? Here's an arrow going up into the supernaturalism and coming back down on you. That's soulish prayers. We talked yesterday about folks who, I told you about the young man who was praying that God would cause this young lady he wanted to marry to be restless and not be able to sleep and have to think about him all the time, so until she married him. Now, that's a soulish prayer for selfish ambition. And it has gone up and picked up a demon because it is earthly, soulish, and demonic, and it's come back down to affect the Christian. Well, it says, a curse causes cannot light. In Numbers 25, Balaam said, there is no iniquity in Israel, therefore no divination will work against it. So if you don't have any sin in your life, that demon can't get through. A professional witch works the same way, only she will send an evil spirit to read you, to talk to your familiar spirits that are around you. And so what kind of sin does he have in his life? What's his weakness? What's his sin? What kind of unconfessed sin does he have? And they've been watching you all the time and listening to you pray. And they say, well, he's got this, this, and this. And so they will craft a curse that meets your sin. Does that sound far-fetched to y'all? It's the way it works. Now, you see soul ties him going up. What is a soul tie? Well, if you have sinned with somebody in the world sexually, if you've had sex with somebody you ain't married to, or if you've seen somebody that you are not married to that you have lusted after sexually, or that you've been involved with and the mutual lust has gone back and forth, it forms a tie in the spirit world called a soul tie. And those people can activate demons to make you respond. As the young lady came into the church, the pastor's wife brought her in to see me. And he said, Doc, I want you to pray for this young lady. I said, why? She's having all kind of problems. She's working out at this particular place. And the manager, she's been sleeping with the assistant manager out there, who is a, quote, Christian, and she's a, quote, Christian. And said, she can't stop. And so I talked to her. And that old boy could just call on the telephone, and she said, look, it's not right what we're doing. You're a married man. And she said, you know, it's just not right. But she would find herself within 30 minutes, she'd be over there in bed with him. So there was something that just drew her, like she was, and it's like she had a puppet string on her, just dragging her. Now there, I told you there were two verses. These are soul ties him. And you'll see in Luke 13:16 and Mark, I think it's 7:18, I believe. Both of those, there are words in there called bonds. In the King James, it says, the string of his tongue was loosened. That's a puppet string. And when he talked about the woman with infirmity, it said, whom Satan has bound with this bond for 18 years. That word bond for 18 years is a puppet string. It's only used those two places. The puppet string. So he had it tied up with a string. And so those strings run up into the third heaven, and they, see, they're like a, and you're like a puppet that the enemy can jiggle you around. It's based on past sin, the sin of your fathers. Now up here, we have the sin of the fathers. And those are sins of your fathers, and they go down into the supernaturalism, pick up demons, and come down and affect you. Quite often you're born with the demons in you. Does not Scripture say that John the Baptist was endowed with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb? What makes you think an evil spirit can go in then? The witches' coverings are routinely, when a woman gets pregnant, they will gather around her and lay hands on her womb and transmit an evil spirit into her. And they will do it again when the baby is born. And you have to deliver them from that transmitted spirit that was given to them in the womb. Okay. Soul ties, soulish prayers. Soul ties here. You'll see the evil supernaturalism will bring this demon down to whisper in your ear. But you have to resist him. Does anybody have any questions on it?
That verse,
Luke 13:16, I think. Just a minute, I'll see. It's Luke 13:16, Mark 7:35. Now, and so when you put on the armor of God and come under his wing, that's his covering, then these demons coming down from above are reflexed away. And you put up the shield of faith so that the fiery darts that are coming in from the world are repulsed. Or the fiery darts, they are things people tell you. Oh, come on now, be reasonable. Come on, let's be reasonable and logical about this thing. You hadn't been healed. You know that sort of thing doesn't happen anymore. You just got all excited up there. That way, you know, your spinal cord really wasn't broken in two. It was just bruised a little bit. That's the reason that God raised you up off that striker frame. That's the reason you were able to get up and got well. You the doctor was wrong. You didn't transect your cord. That's what they told my son. And that's what my brother-in-law to this day believes. It's just not reasonable and logical that that could happen. But he walked out of that hospital. But sin, the evil supernaturals, can still hit the world. And then they, if you let your shield down, they can still hit you. Now, the sin of the flesh has been reckoned dead by Romans. The self of the flesh is still there, and it has to be denied every day. You have to stand against it every day as long as you live. Like I told you, the man who got the medal for being the humblest man in church, they had to take it away from him when he wore it the next day. Now, these are all scriptures about, Psalm 91 says, under he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you will take refuge. Psalm 47 talks about the wing of God. Psalm 17:8 talks about the wing of God. Psalm 23:7 talks about the wing of God. You come on down to Matthew 23:27, Luke 13:34, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a mother chick gathers a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wing. Now, let's look at Ruth 3:9. Ruth spoke to Boaz and said, take me under your wing. That's also translated, take me under the, cover me with the corner of your garment. Ezekiel 16:8 is a great rejection chapter. And there Jesus Christ, there was a time for love. He covered you with his garment. He made a covenant with you and you became his. And that is a picture of the Redeemer kinsman covering you. And so now you rest under the wing of God. Now if you turn, you open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 30. I'm sure some of y'all are getting dead in the rear end now. We've been talking very long here. I apologize. I didn't mean to talk this long. But look at Isaiah 30, chapter 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, who devise a covering but not of my spirit. Now, that devise a covering is literally weave a spider's web. That they may add sin to sin, they walk down to the world, have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of the devil. Pharaoh's a type of the devil, Egypt's type of the world. And to trust in the shadow of the world. Therefore, the strength of the devil shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of the world shall be your humiliation. That's when you, in your wisdom, decide how you're going to get even. That's when you, in your wisdom, decide how you're going to make this thing right. Somebody's hurt you, and you start thinking all these evil imaginations, all your imaginations about what you should have said, or how you should have said it, or what you're going to do to make it right, instead of going asking God. He'll tell you to pray for him and let it go. But you'll have these evil imaginations, these fanciful imaginations, this fantasy, and you're going to weave a spider's web, which is idolatry, and you're going to be standing out from under the wing. You've moved out from under this covering to out him. And you back up, and the devil's got this big, long spear.
And he reaches down there, and he sticks it down through one of them holes in that spider's web, and he stabs you. Oh, God, I got hurt, Lord. And you repent, I'll heal you. I said, well, what is the... Remember I told you about the... We went over Genesis 4, and we said the word for sin crouching at the door came from the Akkadian word Rasmussen, which means demon. I asked my Hebrew expert, who's my son, I said, what is this, son? Oh, Dad, he said, he looked at, oh, you know what that is. Did you remember when I took you to the Museum of Natural History in London, and we went into the Assyrian section? I said, yeah. Do you remember those funny-looking statues they had of animals with human heads and wings on lions and things? Yeah. I said, that's what those are. They are the demons that guard those buildings. They're the spiritual entities that guard those buildings. You remember they had a shaft, one of them had a sort of a shaft with a big pine cone-looking thing on the end and a bucket in the other hand? He said, they always wonder what that means. But what they do is, they can be either a benevolent spirit that can protect you or a malevolent spirit which can cause you harm. And if you sacrifice enough to the gods, placate the gods, then they won't order these demons to hurt you. They'll order to protect you. And I said, well, you know what that thing in his arm is, eh? I said, that thing with the cockleburr on it's a shaft, see? You know, in that culture, if the king got mad at you, he tore your house down, he pulled a beam out, sharpened it, and stuck you on the end of it. That's spoken of in Ezra. That's in Ezra. King said, anybody who opposes the edict, the house shall be pulled down, a beam shall be pulled out, and you shall be impaled upon it. That was their custom. The Assyrians had a little short one, and they stuck it so that it came about right here on you, and they stuck you down on top of it, and it was right here, and they could just have all kind of fun with you. You couldn't get away, you know, and they'd burn you a little bit, and sometimes they'd tie your hands up over your head and skin you alive. The Iroquois Indians did this too. But that's what the Rasmussen is. That's what the shaft was. He had the shaft with the kookaburra on the end. And the other one, he had the bucket in his hand. I said, well, yeah, he can give you a shaft one hand, and he got you to take the blessing out of the bucket, and you got to reach up and reach down. You don't know what's down in there. You don't know what you're going to get from the devil. You know, I worked with a lot of people. I've been dedicated to that, the devil's folks, you know. I never worked with a converted witch that hadn't had cancer at least twice, been in the insane asylum a couple of times. The devil just treats his people horrible. He hates them too. Oh, they're dedicated to him. Anyway, these are the scriptures on the covering. And when you build a false covering, a covering that you devised of your own plans, it's like a spider's web. It has holes in it, and the enemy can stick you through it and wound you. It is idolatry. It bears a curse. It must be repented of, and the curse broken. When you decide you're going to solve your own problems and go to the world and solve your own problems without praying and ask God's advice. That's what that scripture clearly says. Now, in the sins of the fathers, they've been broken by Galatians 3:13. The sins of the flesh have been broken by Romans. The shield of faith will hold off the fire darts of the evil one. All you got to do is walk in God's Spirit. I think it's terrible when the parents expect the child to always be honest and truthful to them. When the phone rings and they say, tell them I'm not him. You should always be honest, but they say you're cheating on your income tax. You have to set an example for your children. And remember, your children are put off by hypocrisy. say that there's nothing that will put off a young person quicker than hypocrisy. And they can see through hypocrisy just like a piece of glass. The thing that bothers me quite frequently in churches is that somebody with a familiar spirit will get up and prophesy some off the wall, something like you never heard in your life. And the preacher is so anxious to have the Holy Spirit manifested in the church, so anxious to have a demonstration of the gifts, so afraid that he's going to offend this sister and hurt her feelings and make her go over to the second church of the avenue rather than where in his church and take her tithe with her, that he will say, "Oh, isn't that a wonderful demonstration of the Spirit?" And all the kids are about ready to vomit. Because they can see through it. They say, "God, what in the world is she talking about?" And I just weep over that. I weep over it. And not only does it happen once, it's happened time after time after time, and he never. And she becomes known as a prophetess in the church. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I better stop now, Glenn. Lord Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you and I thank you for these people, Lord. I speak healing and restitution to them now in the name of Jesus. I say, Satan, that you shall not steal this word. You shall not steal it or corrupt it. This word has fallen on good soil and will bear crop 30, 60, 100 fold. I speak healing and restitution to all that hear. I speak healing and deliverance now. I bind these people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I break all the curses that were spoken against them. All the curses have come down through the family line. And I loosen the ministering spirits to minister to them now. The war angels to stand around and to guard them and to keep them. And I speak healing and restitution to their families and their loved ones. And we claim salvation for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to send out the war angels to protect their loved ones and to bring them in to a knowledge of the love of God, that Jesus loves them. I break the curse of rebellion and rejection over them in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restitution to them. I break them free from the spirit of bondage in the name of Jesus. And I commit them to you by faith. And I thank you for it, Lord, that it's been done in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.